Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This morning we have an Old Testament lesson that is coming from Psalm chapter 4. Let us listen to the words. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusion and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin when you are on your bed. Search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are seeking who will bring us prosperity. Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us listen to today's New Testament lesson that comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." This is the word of God for us today. Thanks be to God.
Many of you here know me. In fact, many of you know me quite well. I've been part of this church since 2003, when I found it. And those of you who know me, who maybe heard me preach, or have been part of my small groups or my Bible studies, probably have come to realize that I'm an open book. I will share my life experiences openly with you for two reasons. First, you need to know that while I am an ordained clergy person, I am human just as you are. And my life has ups and downs just like yours does. And second, I want you to recognize God's activity in my life, because just as God acts in mine, God acts in yours. So sharing my life stories with you is how I witness to you and to others about Jesus. Sharing my stories is how I evangelize. There, I said it. That big old nasty, scary word, evangelize. That word that conjures up fear in the hearts of men and women all over, which is probably because the first meaning of that word is to convert or to seek to convert. And this conjures up visions of people standing on corners handing out tracts, or visions of, or maybe even memories of, people going door to door and ringing your bell and saying, "Can I come in and talk to you about Jesus or the Bible?" And that makes us very anxious to think that that's what we're supposed to do. And it makes us very reluctant to evangelize. Now, language is important because words have connotations and images that they bring up in our minds. So instead, we use the word witness. Now think about the word witness. How many of you watch Law and Order? All the flavors? So you know that if a crime takes place and you're asked to be a witness, you need to go to court, to the trial, and you go on the witness stand, and the lawyers ask you all kinds of questions about what you saw or what you experienced based on what you witnessed. The second definition of the word evangelize is to spread the Christian gospel. And as Easter people, as people living post-Easter, we're called to witness to the risen Jesus, to spread the gospel. And that's what Peter's doing in this passage from Acts. It's only chapter 3, but it's already Peter's second sermon. But let me put it into some context. So just before Peter speaks in Acts 3, which Pastor Ji-sun just read for us, he and John are headed to the temple for the time of prayer. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is something that they do regularly. As they're walking to the temple, they're approached by this man who is lame from birth, and he asks them for money. So Peter tells them, "We don't have silver or gold, but that which we do have, we will give you." And in the name of Jesus, they command the man to walk. They take him by the hand, they help him up, and instantly his legs are strong. He jumps to his feet, he's able to walk. So he goes with Peter and John into the temple courts, and he's jumping and praising God. And the people recognize him as the same man who used to beg at the beautiful gate. So they're filled with wonder and amazement at what happened, because now this man is walking. So they all go running to where Peter and John and this man are, and there Peter speaks to the crowd. And he sort of scolds them, asking, "Why are they so surprised and amazed? And why are they staring at him and John as though this man is walking because of something they've done?" Instead of realizing that it was done in the power of Jesus. He then reminds them that it was they who handed Jesus over to be killed. And it was they who disowned Jesus before Pilate. He holds nothing back. He tells them, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." Peter and John are witnesses to this. So he lets them have it and ultimately calls them to repentance. Now, the reason that Peter is able to witness to the resurrection with such conviction and call them to repentance because he himself experienced the repentance and forgiveness that this new life, this post-Easter life, brings. You might remember that Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times once Jesus was arrested. And once Jesus was resurrected, Peter was forgiven. He experienced that forgiveness. And Peter was transformed by this experience so much that he began to live in this alternate reality. He began to live a life that was very different than how he'd been living before. This experience of this alternate reality is what motivates, convinces, and empowers us to act upon the experience. Now, when Peter was reading them the riot act, he also gave them an out. In verse 17, he says, "He knows they acted in ignorance, as did their leaders." You've all heard the saying, "Ignorance is bliss." And that's true. Because once you have knowledge, things have to change. Once you have knowledge, you have to think differently. Once you have knowledge, you have to act differently. Once you have knowledge, you have to speak differently. Once you have knowledge of the good news of Jesus Christ, your life changes. Your life changes, and you can no longer remain silent. A few years ago, there was a commuter on the Long Island Railroad, and he was known to everybody who rode the 5 p.m. local train. He was a well-dressed, soft-spoken man. He lived in Jamaica, Queens. And every night, as the train would leave the subway, he'd go to the front of the car, and then he would speak to every person as he walked back. And he would say to them, "Excuse me, but if any of your family or friend are blind, tell them to consult Dr. Garl. He restored my sight." That's witness. He had good news, and he told it. We're not called to be silent. And in this passage, Peter is telling those gathered there that they were complicit in the evil of Rome killing Jesus. As I said, Peter held nothing back. He let them have it. And it wasn't their private refusal of Jesus as the Messiah that got Jesus killed. No, it was their public rejection of him before Pilate through their silence. Peter is asking them and us not to repeat Rome's crucifixion of Jesus. And we, like many people before us, can be complicit in evil when we act in ignorance and silence. The injustices we see on the news, they may not be happening here in Hackettstown, New Jersey, but that does not let us off the hook in speaking out against injustice. Last week, we talked about unity and Jesus praying for us all to be one. And in order for us to be unified, we all need to live in this alternate reality where we live as post-resurrection people, using all of our gifts and our voices to share the truth of Jesus Christ with the world. Salvation is not a personal possession. It's something to be shared with others. And you can share it one person at a time, just like Sally and the dominoes. There was a minister once, and he was having a conversation with a man who professed to be a new convert to Christianity. So the minister asked him if he'd become involved with a church since he'd been converted, and the man's reply was, "No, the dying thief wasn't involved in a church, and he went to heaven." The minister thought a bit, and then he said, "Do you talk to your neighbors about Jesus?" And the man said to him, "No, the dying thief never did that." So the minister asked him, "Have you ever given to missions?" "No, the dying thief didn't do that." So the minister took a deep breath and he said, "Well, my friend, the difference between the two of you seems to be that he was a dying thief and you're a living one." Ouch. Are you a reluctant witness? Do you say to yourself, "I don't know enough about my faith to talk to other people about it," or "I don't know the Bible well enough"? As United Methodists, our mission statement is to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And here at Trinity, our mission is, Trinity Church is a fellowship seeking to share the love and word of Jesus with all. And both of those are based on the command of Jesus that he gave to his disciples before he ascended to heaven, when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." It's a command, not a suggestion. As followers of Jesus, we're commanded to share the teachings of Jesus. And you know these teachings. Maybe you can't quote chapter and verse, but you know the teachings. You don't have to quote chapter and verse. You just have to share the teachings. The one thing you know very well that you don't need a seminary degree for or years of Bible study under your belt is your life. You know your life experience. You know where God was present every step of the way you lived your life. I had to write a statement of call when I entered the process towards ordination. And this required that I reflect back on my life and look at some milestones that pointed to my particular call in ministry and God's activity all along the way. Now, you may not be seeking ordination, but it is a good exercise to reflect on your life, reflect on those milestones, on those special things that happened, or certain experiences that you've had, and take note of where God was active in those times, because that is your witness. I was a quirky kid who fell in love with Jesus at a very young age. And finally realizing that God had this call to ordination on my life made a lot of things that I did and that I experienced fall into place. That's my witness. The way I navigated a divorce with God beside me is my witness. The way I journeyed with God through cancer is my witness. Everything I have experienced and continue to experience is part of my story. It's part of my witness. And God has been active in your life. I don't have to know the particulars of your life, and I still know that God has been active in your life. And that's your story. That's your witness. In order to witness to the risen Jesus, we have to acknowledge living in an alternate reality, this reality where Jesus reigns. A reality where the resurrection of Jesus not only speaks to our salvation and our forgiveness, but also to our transformation to new creations. When you know the truth, there is no going back to living the way you did before you knew the truth. Our experiences in this alternate reality, this post-resurrection life, gives clarity and understanding for those who see the risen Jesus for who he is. Live in this alternate reality. Witness to who the risen Jesus truly is. When Peter calls the crowd and us to repent, what he's really saying is renounce your pre-Easter ignorance and open your mind to what God has done through Jesus. Live into that transformation that comes with being Easter people, post-resurrection people. God has done amazing things. Is it really that hard to share them? My prayer for you is that it is not. And that it fills you with such joy and such gratitude that you're willing to shout it from the mountaintops, let alone whisper it to your friend at the diner. Amen.